All right, we're recording.
Hello.
Hey. If you're listening to this, it's the 15th, which means you survived Valentine's Day.
How do you feel about Valentine's Day? I mean, it is what it is. How do you feel about Valentine's Day, Cass? Are you kind of big on it? Or are you Yeah, okay.
I love Valentine's Day. Okay. Even as a kid, I liked it. It's just, I know it's like Hallmark and it's really made up, but I just like that people like express caring, even if it's not like relationships. Like as a kid, I just like knowing that my classmate thought of me and gave me that little, you know, Sylvester. Like, even if it was like the kid's mom or something, I know that when I was deciding which one of those little cartoons I was going to give to my friend, I was thinking of their personality or I was thinking of who they are. So I just always liked that. I thought it was so cute. Just a good time to show love to your friends and family. And it's fun. What do you think about it? Thank you.
I agree with you. I like the idea of it, but I don't know if I'm like super huge on it. Like I did get Adam something and I don't know if he got me anything or whatever, but if he doesn't, it's fine. I'm not like, you have to do this. But like you said, I do enjoy the idea of like a day for people to express their love to everyone. People should do that anyways, but it's nice to have a day set aside for it, I guess.
Yeah. And since it's been capitalized and commercialized, you know, people will do it.
And as long as it's authentic, I think is the thing. You know, like when we were kids and passing out the little Valentines, I didn't give a shit. I was just like, here's your candy. I don't know what this says. I don't have a crush on anybody. You're the tall girl, mom.
I always analyze my little stupid Valentines.
And I think that's very sweet, but I was on the end of that.
She said, here, I don't know. You know what? Just reach in the bag and grab one.
Where are the cupcakes at? That's all I wanted.
Seriously, I always loved that kid who just couldn't, you know, get a card. He was like, I'm going to bring cupcakes for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or, oh, I love these cookies. Okay, these cookies are apparently very, what's the word? Controversial. Those
little, oh my gosh.
Super soft cookies. With a super, super sweet icing. Y'all know those I'm talking about.
Yes.
Every holiday they have some. And they're so good. I love them. You can only eat one of them or else you get diabetes. But
man, diabetes. You get diabetes. Not even diabetes. You get diabetes from eating those cookies.
Thanks for that, man.
Diabetes. You know, those cookies, I think when I was a kid, I really fucked with them, like, a lot. But now as an adult, I'm like, oh, the icing hurts. I'm like, why can I taste that? Why can I taste the food coloring? Like,
it's like cocaine.
It's sugar. It is. It's raw, pure.
The cookie itself isn't that sweet. It's all the icing.
It's all the icing. It's all icing. It's like
you give it a little sweetness, but it's all icing.
It's cupcake cookies, like it's all.
Exactly. I'm here for it. I know, you know. Like I said, you either love those or you hate them. There's nobody who's like, or I've never come across anyone who's like, these are okay.
I'm partial. I think, like I said, as an adult, I'm partial. They're not like the worst, but they do make my teeth. Like it's just so much.
You can feel the plaque coming in.
I can't, like, no,
it's too much.
They're heavy in the azúcar.
Yes, that is my kryptonite. All right, guys, well, welcome back for another episode. We actually are talking about something semi-serious, something that we both deal with as Black women. We are talking about basically commodifying Black women's bodies.
And policing black women's bodies.
And policing them. And we'll get into what all of that means. We'll give some examples. So we both did a little bit of research for this. I mean, we have firsthand accounts. Obviously, we're both black women. But I thought it was important that we bring a little something, a little with some meat and potatoes, some substance behind it. So I actually read an academic article about it. Didn't finish it, because if you've ever read an academic article, they are very long. They're a lot to get through. But this one in particular was really, really good. Mm-hmm. It's by a black professor. She's at, let me see, Wheelock College in Boston. Her name is Akia Bernard. I'm going to take the resources that we have. I'm for real going to do it. I know I say it all the time. I'm going to drop a link, and I never drop a link. I'm going to put the link to these articles that we're going to talk about in the description for this episode, because, like I said, this is a really great article. So I'm just going to kind of get into a little bit about the history. The name of the article speaks for itself. It's called Colonizing Black Female Bodies Within Patriarchal Capitalism. So she's basically just doing an analysis about different works of literature and about the history, how this all got started. So let's see, let me get to the beginning. So this all pretty much started with colonialism, when slavery was just starting out. Let me see. Sorry, guys. My notes are kind of all over the place. Now that I'm looking at them, I'm like, pretty much since the start, black women have been seen as just, we weren't even seen as people. So it was easy for us to be thrown away, especially because we were females. We didn't have as much to offer as men. And I'm not saying that, but in their eyes, because we're not big and strong like men. So,
I appreciate you for reading this and getting the notes. And
yeah, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. There's so much good information on here, but like I said, my notes are kind of all over. So she starts off talking about, like how black women were always raped by these white men, and how biracial children are legacies of the colonial pattern. And it's kind of like it's a representation of, like, I have this power over you, right? But then you have this woman who may have a kid out of wedlock because of it. So it's just a way that they were able to uphold white patriarchy. She also says that the body is a physical representation of how patriarchy and capitalism rely on ownership. So, of course, being a slave, you are owned by someone. So that pattern that thought process of owning someone and owning a body, that's where that all comes from. I'm not doing a very good job of explaining this. Because I was sitting here reading it and I was like, oh my God, that's so good.
So, okay. What about it made, like, I don't know. never mind. I had a thought, but it was gone.
Well, I will talk about something that I learned about that I did not know about. Have you ever heard of Sarah Bartman?
Yeah, actually. Okay. She was one of the people in my presentation I did.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, so I just learned about Sarah Bartman, and she was a African slave who was pretty much shown around in, like, freak shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because her butt was so big. And looking at pictures of her, she's very beautiful, but to me it looks like her butt is just, like, over exaggerated. But I guess because it's just, like, a little bit bigger than, like, an average white butt, they felt like, oh, we can show her off and we can make money off of her. Mm-hmm. So the article I read on this was pretty informative as well. It talks about How she, you know, on the one hand, she had this life where she was traveling, you know, she was, her stuff was pretty much taken care of, like her room and board and all that. But on the other hand, it's just like, the flip side of that is, you know, you guys are objectifying her body and making money off of her, and she doesn't have rights to anything.
Right.
Like, she, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This article also brought up the fact, I guess, Beyonce was thinking about making a movie off of this.
Oh, Sarah Bartman?
A long time ago, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if she was going to actually star in it. This article.
I hope not, Beyonce. I know.
That's kind of what I wanted to say without being mean. I have nothing against Beyonce, like, no shade to her, but she looks nothing like Sarah Bartman. Like, that to me would have been disrespectful.
Yeah.
And it's also ironic because I feel like Beyonce is one of, like, an acceptable black girl because she is light skinned, mm-hmm. she's beautiful, and all that. So I wouldn't have agreed with that. I don't think that's fair. But, anyways. Speaking of Beyonce, she actually did review Lemonade. She did like a little one of it because there were a lot of feminists coming out and saying Beyonce shouldn't be doing that, blah, blah, blah. Like, mm-hmm. she looks like a hoe and all these outfits or whatever. But Beyonce was just basically like saying these are like my issues too. Like, just because I'm beautiful and just because I'm rich doesn't mean that I don't feel pain too, and doesn't mean I'm not a human being. And she's saying, like, why don't we use this as an opening for a discussion? Like, why do we have to block people out
right
because they have certain privileges? And I feel like I definitely agree with that. Like, you know, Beyonce's still a black woman. I'm sure she went through a lot and she has something to offer. So I think, to me, like, I said it once, I'll say it again. To me, the whole point of being a feminist, if you call yourself a feminist, is you have a right of choice without any judgment.
Exactly.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. This was a really good line too. She's saying blacks were not a race in and of themselves, but they were a consequence or opposite of whiteness.
Mm.
Blacks, right, as a color, were seen as evil. So let me say that one more time because I thought it was pretty good. Blacks are not a race in and of themselves, but a consequence or opposite of whiteness. So how does that make you feel when you hear something like that?
Well, she's saying that's how it was viewed back then, right? That they weren't.
That's how.
I, you know what? I actually agree, and I really. When I hear that, I think of, oh my gosh. I was thinking of that Bible verse where someone did something. I'm not good at Bible things, so nobody yell at me, okay, first off. But someone did something, and then they got turned black as like a punishment. So when I think of that person, she said that's how people looked at black folks back then. They weren't black as a race. They're the opposite. They're a consequence. If you do this, then that, like a punishment. And so I was thinking back to that Bible verse, you know, it's actually controversial. A lot of people don't like it. I don't know it. Like I said, I don't know Bible things.
That's okay.
But it's sad, but I feel like it was definitely true. You can see it just in the way that black folks were commodified and sold, and it was like a curse to be black, you know, like a consequence.
It's so bad. Like, people now, even if an opposite race says a black person, they usually whisper the word black.
Yeah.
And I hate that because black isn't a bad word.
Right.
But it's so ingrained in us. It's like, oh, you can't say that this is a black person. I'm like, what the fuck? That's so weird. I would rather be called black than African American, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't feel this is unfortunate, but I don't feel connected to like Africa. My ancestry, in my opinion, was stripped from me. So I don't really have any ties to that history. So when people say an African American, that's a white man's word. That's not what I want to call myself. That's like a polite word. Instead of saying colored or nigger, you came up with African American. Well, I'm from America. That's just how I feel. I know that's maybe not a popular opinion, and that's fine.
I think, I mean, we, you know, most African Americans, we don't really know, where we come from. And so we are disconnected. But when I think of African American, I think of just the African diaspora that we are a part of. But where I definitely agree with you is that that's always so white folks get American, and then everybody else is hyphenated, and it's like, oh, I'm from here,
Right.
so why did I just become American?
Right.
So,
I wish I felt more connected to our culture and to where we came from. But like I said, I just feel like that's a politically correct term for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That came out of white
It
man.
is. People were like you said, people were whispering black, like it was such a bad thing. And they were like, let's try this.
So she goes on to talk about how, you know, we go from that colonial thinking, like, okay, black women, we're gonna exploit, you know, we're gonna exploit their bodies and our sexual relationships with them. And she talks about how that still penetrates, like, you know, mass media today. So here's a couple of examples. So she talks about how she did a Google search for white models. And if you search for a white model, all you see is like headshots and like, you know, very artsy kind of pictures. But if you type in black female models, it's always from the neck down. You're seeing more ass, you're seeing, you know, more like sexually explicit photos.
I feel
How does
like
that make you
yes, and I was actually about to do it right now. White women, it's more headshots and it's more high fashion. Let's see, black models. Oh no, actually, it's a lot of, I mean, also, I don't know when her, let's see, when her article was written,
This came out, yeah.
at the time, right now, I'm getting a high fashion models, which is good.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I'm not getting any like video girls. It's all like,
Oh, good. Okay.
but like I said, I mean, there
Could
has
be a
been
little bit
scrubbing of the internet, you know, to start getting stuff cleaned
That's
up. So,
true. Let me see. Oh, this is from 2016, so this is kind of dated.
a little, but it's still, I mean, it's only 4 years
But it's still,
or 5 years.
But it's, I mean, I'm happy to hear that, though. I'm happy to hear that it's changing.
Yeah,
It's
but
changed since then.
I could definitely imagine, because I feel like with other things, I can't even think off the top of my head, but there was another somebody else that did like a search like that, and it was like the things that came up when associated with black women and the things that came up associated with white of the same category was completely, one side was hypersexualized. And I definitely think that's true, and I don't, I mean, I was gonna say I don't know where it comes from, but yeah, I don't know. I
It
definitely
comes from, I'm glad you said that. So she actually does speak to where it comes from. So basically, back in the day, they were trying to make, like in colonial times, they're trying to make white women like more presentable. So one evil can't exist without the other, right? So if you make us hypersexualize and you make us, you know, you demonize our bodies, that means that they're pure and they're white and they're all wife material, right? So, like I said, one can't exist without the other. So white women need to acknowledge that and do something about it. I'm not coming up with a solution because I didn't create the problem.
Very good. I was gonna say, what do you suggest? But you know what? You're right.
Yeah, no, that's not for me to fix. I gotta play my part and they gotta play theirs, but nobody's ready to have that conversation yet. She also goes on to talk about porn. She talked about something really interesting, and I never thought about this. But if you go to a white strip club, it's very upscale. You can't touch the women. They may not be fully naked, but if you go to like a black one, you can touch them, you can take them to the private room, like, usually they're fully naked. And she talks about the same thing with porn, like how if you see a black girl in porn, it's usually like you're more like giving in to something, or it's more like taboo to be with a black woman, whereas like with a white woman, it's different. I don't know how you feel, but I think we've talked about this. I think that's why I feel weird watching black women in porn. Like something in me is just like I don't know, something inside of me just does not like to see black women in porn. And I think that's part of it.
I've never thought of it, but
Yeah.
yeah, I don't. No, I
Well, that's just my experience.
was, I don't like. I rarely watch black porn. Maybe that's why I'm so adverse. Like I don't watch it. But I never considered the reason.
Yeah, I think it's two things for me. I know it's that, and it's also the fact that we are only shown as like being super hypersexualized, but we're never really seen as being like beautiful. You know what I mean? And I think there that disconnect is just it just turns me off. I'm like, no, I don't want to watch black women having sex.
Ah, that's interesting to say,
Yeah.
because I'm thinking back to just like look, like the videos, the titles of the videos, and how they differ between black actresses and white actresses.
Black women, it's like big booty hoe or whatever the term is.
Black whore, things like that.
Yes, very
And
demeaning.
it's like innocent teen.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like I said, this is a really good article. I'm gonna link it so you guys can read for yourself if you want to. It did take me a little time just to get through what I got through, but she gives great information. I loved learning about Sarah Bartman and want to learn more about her.
Well, Britt?
Yeah,
Oh,
can you hear me?
yeah, it sounded like it was fading. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Sarah Bartman is, it's sad because, like I said, this, we do a little piece, Michaela, researched her further, and it's in our presentation, but she's the fashion icon who created the bustle dresses of the 19th century. Because,
Which makes sense for her body shape.
yep, while they thought, she was freakish because of her large bosom and large butt, her elongated labia, after she died, mind you, she died at 25, died broke, alcoholic, and a prostitute. So after she passed, they started making these dresses that cinch in your waist, lift up your boobs, and give you this butt that resembles Sarah Bartman. So it's interesting.
So, yeah,
It's sad.
it's just so contradictory. It's like it's the same cycle repeating over and over again. Remember, like back in the 90s when they made fun of black women with big butts and big lips? Now look at it. They make fun of having extensions. Now all that shit is popular. It's just crazy how y'all like demonize it, and then a few years later you're like, oh no, we actually like this. And then you still treat black women like shit, but you want to steal our style and like the way we look. If
Exactly.
that doesn't or if I don't understand how people don't understand why that's offensive or like why that upsets people.
Girl.
I just don't get it. So I did write a little note on here. just to myself, but I really liked where this came from. It's after I read this, I said the only way submissive energy lives in us is by experiencing acts of oppression. So pretty much like the only way any of this happens is because we experience so much oppression as Black women. So we have to therefore react with acts of defiance.
Yes.
Well, how do you feel about, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, sorry. I was going to say, I like that. Cause that, yeah. You know, and well, never mind. Yes, I like that.
I ain't never mind a lot.
I was going to go into like a whole spiel. I'm trying to stay. Stay on topic. We're saying, how do I feel about what?
I was just going to say, like, how do you feel? How did you feel growing up, like, as a young Black girl? And then how do you feel about yourself, like, now?
Ooh, I like this question. As a young Black girl, I felt worthless. Where I grew up was, you know, not the most Black girl friendly place. And it's like, I recall like a story from like high school, and I remember this is like when Cassie came out, and me and my friends were talking about her because she couldn't dance. I love Cassie, but in the Me and You video, she can't dance, and everyone knows it. And we were like, a whole bunch of us were crowding around a computer, and I was like, she can't dance. And this guy was like, what do you know? You're ugly. And I was like, what the fuck? But also, now that I think about it, what do you mean? I could be ugly and still know she can't dance.
I mean, you're definitely not ugly, but exactly. Like, that's what kind of insult is that? It sounds like he just been waiting to call you ugly, and that was
like, right? That's like, it is so fucked up, but now that I think about it, I'm like, those two are not mutually exclusive.
No, they're not, sir. Was this a white boy or was this a Black boy?
It was a white boy. And so like, those are just some things that I heard, and so I didn't, like, I had like the lowest self-esteem. And now as a Black woman, like an adult, I feel better. There's a lot more, like, you know, as being dark skinned, it's like I have a lot more people to look at now, and I see myself a lot more, and I've grown to love like my skin. So I feel better. I still don't have that, like, I don't know, that like power boost that white women have to just be super overly confident for everybody and just expect everyone to, you know, fall for them. So I still don't have that ability, but I feel okay. What about you? How did you feel as a young Black girl?
I felt, and I'm gonna cringe because this is my first time like really saying this out loud. Yeah. I really had a lot of self-hatred issues. Mm-hmm. It was like I wasn't ashamed of being Black. I just felt like embarrassed sometimes, mm-hmm. because I felt like, damn, if I was a white girl, like I could get away with, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of, like you said, like I can get away with so much shit. So I guess I just wanted like that same kind of sense of power. Mm-hmm. And I never felt good enough. Like, I always felt like no matter how nice I was or how well I dressed, and I still feel like this, like, it's not good enough. But now I didn't embrace my Blackness like I do now. Mm-hmm. And as ashamed as I am of how I felt back then, I feel a lot better now. Still working on my self-esteem and my self-confidence, but that doesn't have to do with my Blackness. Like, I feel like I'm a beautiful Black woman, and I can say that and, you know, feel good about it. I think it's beautiful, you know, that our Blackness is being celebrated now more than it ever has. But I also worry that it's a trend, and like with all trends, they stop. I'm just, I'm worried about the day when blackness stops trending.
Oh, word. She said, I'm ready for waiting for the day that black.
I'm worried about that because, you know, it's in vogue now. You know, people are paying attention to what happened.
No, I was saying, yeah.
That's you were saying.
Oh, no, sorry.
Something.
They're talking to me. Just,
I will say, like, especially what is especially beautiful is, and this may seem kind of whack, but seeing black women teach other black women how to love themselves and how to take care of themselves.
Yes.
Like, I definitely, like, started more of a natural hair thing within the past couple years, and YouTube is a great resource for that if anybody needs one. But the dope part is there's a lot of black women on there, you know, giving everybody tips and tricks on how to do their hair. And it may seem like a simple thing, but like I said, black women teaching other black women how to work with what you got and how to look good. I love that shit.
Yeah. I do too. And thank you. You know, YouTube's been coming through, like you said. Like, it just, excuse me, it just makes us feel like it's more of a community. I hate the internet and I get over, you know, social media and YouTube, and it does help us feel more connected in that sense, because, like, I really started loving my blackness when I found Tumblr, and there was just like, you can find your niche and like rabbit hole. And there was so many like beautiful black queen pages, and they started the blackout. There used to be a thing called, what was it, Blackout Fridays? And it was when you just follow a whole bunch of black people on those days. And it, I think it started as like a one-time thing, but then more and more people started doing it. So then they had to make it weekly, but it was dope. And It just helped me get exposed to more and more positive image of blackness, because I had a lot of self-hate as well. And I had a lot of like just anger and I don't know, a lot of stereotypes in my head. And so being able to see positive images just, you know, so frequently thrown out really helped. So thank you, internet, for that. Thank you.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Seeing positive images of yourself and what you're capable of, that makes so much of a difference. And I also, I mean, I've said this to you before, but I'd like to say it again. I have to thank you and Tammy for just showing me like how much you love yourselves and you love your blackness. Like, I was already turning the corner, but you guys really helped me get there to appreciating blackness. So thank you so much. Just, I mean, seeing how fiercely you guys just loved yourself, I mean, you know, it was like, well, sis, wake the fuck up. You need to be doing the same thing.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad we were a helping light, because, you know, that's what we want to do. And that's why that's why having black women friends is so important, but that's also why it's so important to find like your online community, because what other, you know, I mean, I came to light, thank God, to all the people on Tumblr, I guess, but it was like that. I saw them loving their blackness, and then I was like, other people are, I can. So,
Yay for black women.
Yay for black women.
Girl. The backbone of the country, and they don't even appreciate it. Okay. You wanted to discuss Chloe Bailey. Can you inform me and other people who don't know about the situation?
Yeah. So I just wanted to talk about like black sensuality, because lately people have been just like attacking black women for basically just wanting to be sexy or participating in sexy challenges. So Chloe Bailey is a 22-year-old, I guess, actress and pop star. So she's part of the Chloe Haley, Haley Chloe group, and they're both on Grown-ish on Freeform. Okay. So she's the older one, and she participated in the Busset Challenge, and she, I think she, yeah, she participated in the Busset Challenge on her Instagram. And, you know, while fans were loving it, she was getting a lot of hate from, like, Black women telling her, you know, saying the usual, you should be soul food, not eye candy.
Not eye candy.
I hate that line so much. It's hilarious, but I'm like, really? Just attacking her for being sexy online. And it was making me mad because it's like, she's 22. If she want to be sexy, she want to be sexy. And, but I noticed like people have been just, people over police Black women's bodies and Black women's sensuality and how they express it. And so basically Chloe came out with a video on how, you know, she did this challenge because she was finally at a place where she could like love herself and she's finally confident. And she basically cried in this video. And she did, at the end, she had a lot of people, you know, they came out in support. But for a good few days, she was trending on Instagram and like Twitter and people were being wild. And so, so a lot of celebrities were like, you know, let Black women fucking do what they want, like let Black women do what they want with their body. And I thought about like, I thought about this, like where and why is there this hate around Black women embracing their sexuality? Because it seems like you said, back in colonialism days or, you know, slavery times, white women used to tell Black women what they could do with their bodies. Their owners were their owners. They, you know, dictated if they could get pregnant, if they could even marry or who they could have sex with, and oftentimes they raped them. And so Black women have had so many years of not having autonomy and ownership of their own body, of their own sexuality. And so now that we're in the, I think, what is this, the 21st or the 22nd century? I don't know. Black women are starting to embrace their sexuality more. They're starting to realize that they can break out of this patriarchy, and people have been trying to tear them to shreds. One thing I noticed was like when it was Lori Harvey, you know, the fact that Lori Harvey dated Diddy and his son, or it would be his son and then Diddy, and then like other people, a lot of men have been like, oh, okay, Lori, like I still want her, I still want her. But then when Chloe did it as a younger, I don't think she's younger, I don't, yeah, as a maybe a natural woman, the fact that she has locks or whatever, they they try to come for her like she was supposed to be this like pious, innocent person. And so I was really trying to find out like where that came from. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the Jezebel stereotype, you know, of that women are, Black women are over sexual and all are always down for everything. And so folks think that it's protecting Black women by policing their bodies and trying not to make them to be viewed as over sexual, but it's not doing anybody any good because the Black woman should get to choose her own destiny with her own body. So in the midst of all this, in the midst of, you know, Lori Harvey and her exploits this past few months, and then like the Chloe Bailey, this person posted a Blevity article. So an article on Blevity. It's an op-ed, so I get that's opinion, but I was not having it. A lot of people in the comments weren't having it because basically what she did was use respectability politics to tell Black women what to do with their bodies under the guise of empowerment. And you ain't gonna tell me you're empowering me by telling me I need to find some way to contribute to society and not hold it back because I'm twerking on camera. Sis, sit down. So I analyzed this article. First off, this article can be found on Blevity. And we can put the link down below, but it's by Lauren Evett. And it's titled, "When It Comes to the Busset and Silhouette Challenges, Just Sit This One Out, Sis."
No.
So I already rolled my eyes.
That is even the title is like anti-feminist, in my opinion.
Right. Empowerment to who? Okay. So the author goes on to say how she likes to empower women and she's all about, you know, equal rights, but she feels like the challenges aren't empowering and to the current society and to the future generations. She says that The busset challenge is when like a woman in her errand clothes, or people would say like looking homely, the drops and she's like in her sexy clothes. And then the silhouette challenge is.
Yeah, what? I like that one.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's cool. Okay. I like the song that they put on.
It's a fun challenge. So basically,
I wanted to get in on that, but I'm not downloading TikTok or whatever the fuck you need for.
I don't know how to do them transitions. I'm too old. I don't know how to do those transitions. So, for anyone who doesn't know the silhouette challenge, you're like in your bathrobe, and then the beat drops, and then the light turns red, and you know it's like a sexy silhouette, and you're in the doorway.
Red on my shoulder,
and it's like sexy. So she goes on to say, okay, that these challenges are essentially ruining the women's equality movement. Here, insert eye roll, okay? She says she felt like the challenges sexualized women and how others define us. And I was like, okay, it's literally a like sexy thing. It's sexy, yeah. And what do you mean how people define us? Like, this is... there's so many definitions to women. Women are not monolithic, and so I hate when people are like, "Oh, this is how they're gonna define you." Well, if they're gonna define me as this, there's multiple layers to me, and one thing isn't who I am. But I think what got me was her breakdown of the silhouette challenge. She too much time on her hands. Okay, she said. She said the silhouette is often used in the sex industry for profit, and she feels, you know, it's used by, you know, those porn people and those people in the sex industry to sell sex.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. You know the gif I'm talking about?
So, and then she goes on, okay, to say that the red light, and I'm not saying she's wrong, but I think there was just a little, like, she was reading, it was just a reach. So she said the red light in the back of the silhouette challenge is representative of the red light used in the red light district where sex workers can be bought and sold, and is representative of carnage and pillaging.
Oh my, I thought she was gonna say period blood, but okay.
No. So
red is just like, that's historically, yeah, like a very passionate and sexual color. She's not wrong. You're right. It is like
we see it out there.
That's the whole point. But what? It's like a sexy thing.
Yeah, to me. Okay, because there's another part. So there's more.
I'm sorry. Wait, there's more.
To me, this part, I don't know. It sounded very anti-sex worker. Very. It started. I mean, it's already. respectability politics, but it didn't sound empowering as she says that she is. And like I said, it was very anti-sex worker, anti-sex positivity. But like I said, there is more. So she goes on to point out a major concern, which I agree with. It's that some, you know, creepy users are finding ways to remove the filter. So I agree. Mm-hmm. I think women got to be careful when they do this challenge, because some people are doing it naked and people are removing the filter that's red and silhouette-y and they can see you. So be careful. Okay.
That's a legitimate concern. I agree, that's a legitimate concern.
You know, I agree. But all in all, this author goes on to criticize the silhouette and the busset challenge for exposing children to oversexed, misconstrued content. And her tone turns to a pick-me attitude by sharing that she likes to be a lady in the sheets and a lady in the streets and a freak in the sheets. Okay.
That's so problematic.
She implores women to think of the children, the professional lives, and the message it sends for equality. So what she said, this is my summarization, but let me tell you. She said, think about how it would be if a 13-year-old saw a video with a eggplant and a tongue emoji. And I said, she'd probably think the thing that they already know. It probably means penis. 13-year-old, who do you think, what 13-year-olds already know that, okay? And I was thinking, like, at the end of the day, also, I'm not your child's role model. Let me do what I want to do.
Thank you. You know what? I said the exact same thing when everybody was all up in arms about this Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion, the WAP video.
Seriously, I'm not your fucking role model.
First of all, who cares? It's a fun song. Y'all need to get your sick about your asses. Second, why are you, if you don't want your kid listening to it, make sure they're not listening to it. Get some parental controls on their phone.
Like, did you see?
I understand, like, there's ways around it. Like, we looked at quote-unquote inappropriate shit too, and it, guess what, it's not the end of the fucking world. Exactly. Some kids are gonna take it to the left, but like I said, you have to monitor what your kid does. And third, why do you want your kid to look up to Cardi B? You know what kind of music she makes.
Exactly.
She's not making music for kids. She's not singing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Sucking dick for since she came out, which is
since
fine.
She came out.
I don't have no problem with that. But
seriously,
why do you want, they're not going to be role. They're not supposed to be role models for your kids.
You stop are. Right. You are. Come on.
You.
I was annoyed. This actually, I feel like this ties into kind of what we're talking about. I was annoyed because. So she was playing WAP and then her daughter started coming in, so she turned it off. Someone gonna have the nerve to say, so your daughter can't listen to it but others can? I'm the fucking parent of my daughter. Y'all turn that shit off. Like, and she was like, she said, I don't care what your kids listen to, that's on you. But like, people were making it seem like it was her fault that their kids were listening to that.
No, it's your fault. Or like I said, your kids gonna listen to some inappropriate shit and they're gonna go on with their life. Like,
and they'll be just fine. I was listening to Adina Howard at like 5, so come on.
I was watching like horror movies since I was like 5, okay?
Seriously.
It's gonna be okay. Everybody calm down.
She also told women, you know, what happens to your professional life? Well, let's see. My boss finds my TikTok. I'm shaking my ass. They're going to say, is this you? And I'm going to say, yeah. And they're going to say, okay.
Cool.
Like, cool. People always be using that, like, what about your professional life? Well, first off, if I'm something that I have to worry about, my shit's going to be private. Second off, if I can be naked or half naked or however you want to call it on TikTok or Instagram, then that's probably my job. So mind your damn business. like, what about my professional job?
All very weird justifications for her to be judgmental.
Girl, listen to the last one.
Oh, no, there's more.
Oh, there's one more. okay. She said, and all those women who do these challenges. Oh, and there's more to the letter too, but for her comment, she said, for all those women who do these challenges, think about what message that is sending to men about equality. Basically, like, is the man that's liking your picture going to fight for your equal rights or something? And I was like, girl, shut up.
For nobody to fight for my rights? What the fuck?
Shut the fuck up. Like, what? Is a man going to see me shake my ass and say, yep, they don't need equal rights? Like, what the fuck?
Let's take it away from him.
I think if he does that, it's probably his ass too. Yeah, exactly.
You don't have nothing to say about the men doing
no.
it. It's all blame the women again.
So, like, basically, she ends, the article by stating, if you want to be sexual, just say that. Stop conflating body confidence and women's empowerment with being overtly sexual. She states that women of all races need to use their power in a meaningful way and by not perpetuating and participating in ones that tear us down. I was like, if you don't shut the fuck up, sis, if you single, bored, lonely, and can't dance, just say that and go.
Or just keep your mouth shut. Like, okay, if you want to be a prude and not show anything, or if you don't want to participate, don't participate. You don't have to shut other people down. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is the most anti-feminist shit I have ever heard.
Under the guise of talking about I'm trying to fight for equality. Bitch, if you don't shut the fuck up talking about, you know, I'm not like other girls. I prefer to be a lady in the sheets, a lady in the streets, and a freak in the sheets. Shut up! That with that pick me attitude. There's nothing empowering about this article, and
You're doing the same thing that men do to women. You're
exactly doing
the shit to try to control my choice. I have a right to choose if I want to do this shit or not.
Exactly. If you
sitting here shaking your finger at me and saying
right,
get the fuck out of here.
I was like and I'm glad that people came for her in the comments. People were like, if you don't shut the fuck up, stop telling black women what to do. Like, I'm not gonna sit this out. You know what? If you don't have parental blocks on your shit, that's on you. Like, I want to do. And she's like, well, that's not really empowerment because it's doing the same thing. No, because you know what? I'm in charge of my body. Don't tell me what's empowerment.
I'm choosing. Exactly. Nobody's making me do this. I see this and I'm like, oh, I want to do that. I pick up my phone and I record and I'm the one who's posting it to my page for my own enjoyment.
Like, or I'm not trying to
be a sexy bitch and I want to fucking show off. Like,
exactly.
Like,
I'm not here for others. Like, I get to choose. Right. I don't know. So I read another article just about the respectability politics in women's sexuality. Mm-hmm. And according to Dr. Lex Brown James of the Institute for Sexuality and Intimacy, I can't talk today. Society has forced Black women to apply respectability politics to tone their tone and their hair to succeed, and now they've started doing it with their sexuality. And so people are actively trying to fight to give Black women autonomy and agency over our bodies, and it's like, it's frustrating, and I'm sorry, like, I was thinking back to Chloe Bailey, and it's like, imagine just feeling good and feeling sexy. And she did this busted challenge and she was dancing in like her underwear with like a shirt on. But what is the underwear different than a bathing suit? Nothing. And
it's all about context.
Yeah. But I mean, it's guys are in their underwear and people were really like coming down on her. And it's like, it sucks because it's like people struggle with themselves every day. So when they get a little bit of hope, like, leave them the fuck alone and let, especially Black women who are always seen as, you know, like they said, policing how we speak, policing how we dress, policing how we act. at all times, having to even wear two faces or three faces in different, depending on which rooms we are. It's like the moment I get a chance to be me and just do me, let me do me in my body. Like, you do like, you, let me.
I may look at something and be like, oh, I would never do that. But I would never say that from like a judgmental place. It's just like, for whatever reason, I'm closed off to that idea. Let's say I didn't want to participate in the silhouette challenge or whatever. I would never shame somebody, and that's exactly what she's doing. She's shaming people. And I think as a Black woman, it's just like, you don't like being told what to do, but you're doing the same thing. I understand that her intentions are in the right place, but she should just shut the fuck up on this one.
I don't feel like her intention. I mean, because at the end, how she was very, very finger waggy and talking about, think about what you contribute to society. That's literally what she said. Contribute
to society, other than opinion pieces
that are unpaid, sis.
Like, what? Don't worry about what I'm doing. Worry about yourself.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so weird.
So I was like, I was like, you really brought yourself on here to say these things, and you so loud with your wrong opinion, you know?
So loud with your ignorance.
Yeah.
Like, what feminist school does she go to? Like, I need to know.
White feminist. Write them a letter.
Like, this student is failing dreadfully.
I was just like, she says, so next time you go to an app on your phone and open the video / camera to participate in one of these challenges, think about what it can mean.
And put it on our page.
We should. That'd be fun, actually.
That would be fun.
But I was just like, girl, if you get the...
I mean, it's like, you know, I'm seeing all kinds of women do it too. It's not just like the, you know, skinny supermodel women. Like, plus size women are doing it. I think it is totally an empowering thing.
Yeah, to be
feeling good about yourself.
Exactly. You're feeling good. You're feeling sexy. And as women, we often have times where we're going like days without feeling sexy because we're just doing so much. Yeah. So embracing your sexuality is an act of defiance. And this happened to come out like I said, right around these other two things. And I was like, oh, I'm about to go in.
Somebody needs to let her know it's going to be me.
I'm going to say something. Like, oh, no.
I'm so glad. Oh, no, baby. What are you doing? I miss those guys.
Me too.
What is you doing? Remember before COVID when we were just worried about that?
Simpler times.
Sorry to be a Debbie Downer. We were watching something today and I was just like, there's no mask, there's no social distancing.
We were talking about that yesterday. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Like, look how close they are. Oh my God. Oh, they let that woman sneeze. Free COVID. They didn't kill that woman. She sneezed in the video.
Now you sneeze in a grocery store. Somebody's like, back the fuck up.
I've looked at people mad crazy. Like, I will end you. Get away from me right now.
But then half the time it's just like, I just got something in my throat, man. Like,
I know. You know when you be like choking and then you start to start to cough, people be like, you were just looking like,
That is my worst fear now, is just having a coughing fit in the middle of the store. It's like, we gotta get out of here.
They don't stone you, girl.
We gotta get out.
They come in. You start coughing, like, people automatically be like, what?
Nothing. Everything's fine. I'm just slowly dying.
Everything's okay. As it's just okay. Do we have anything to add? We're both saying anything to add.
Yeah. No. Just defy what's going on and be sexual and love yourself. It's easier said than done, but I hope that, you know, everybody learned a little something and you feel empowered to be sexual or not, or be as sexual as you want to be.
Yes. Oh, that leads us to just a heads up for the next episode. Woo-hoo. It's going to be so good. Yes. So we're going to We did. It's, you know, going to continue on the love yourself and, you know, own your sexuality train. So be on the lookout for that. I believe so it's exciting. The first week of March?
First week of March. Yeah.
First week of, first. March 1st. One more thing before we go. Did you see that we are number 3 on FeedPost top 15 Black relationship podcasts?
I did see that. Thank you guys for making us number 3 on that list. Whoever's listening to us and corresponding with them, we appreciate it.
Yes, we are so grateful and think that's really cool. So thank you. All right. Until next time, y'all.
Take care of yourselves and each other.
Yes. Okay. Bye.
Bye.